So,
what's trending?
Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio.
Okay, I'm dying right now looking at my cup of tea, and the tag here says, "Know that you are a child of the universe." Come on, all you hippie people. Let's enjoy this moment. We are children of the universe, don't you know? Oh, gosh. Sometimes these tea tags just crack me up, but it was really relevant to today's show because so often people talk about, you know, positive energy and negative energy, and they talk about how, you know, their spirituality really makes them feel good and the aura around them is positive. It's all so fascinating, truly. Truly fascinating. However, can't we ponder the fact that God is the source of our energy, of our life, of everything? And how does that play out in our lives? That's what we're going to talk about today, from why the Eucharist is a source of our energy as Catholics. We'll talk about me time, self-care, why it matters, why it doesn't. We'll talk about so-called positive energy in our lives and being ourselves, to kind of dispel some of these ideas about the culture saying that you have to be a yoga practicing individual at the same time as a Catholic in order to be holy yourself and to work on self-betterment. No, our entire faith is about self-betterment. So let's dig in. You're listening to Trending with Timory. Does self-care really matter? And if so, what is actually needed? I think this is a really important question. I believe we do need self-care, but I think our deep dive into the self-care movement, me time, self-preservation, we're getting it wrong. Yes, we need to care for ourselves, but me time doesn't matter. And if you disagree with me, I would love to hear from you. Write to me on social media about why you need me time after listening to this. You see, I think that there are four key things that we need that we aren't really getting regularly. And when I say regularly, I'm saying at different parts in our day, every single day. And I'm not saying that these four things need to make up your entire day, but in a respect, they need to be a part of our day so that we have life, we have energy, we're living life to the full. So number one is worship. Two is recovery for endurance. Three is kind of this idea of endurance and stability. And four is joy, joy activities. So number one is worship. So have you ever really thought about what the word culture means? The word cult, taken from culture, has to do with what we worship. And so often, isn't it fascinating that the me time movement, self-care movement, often has to do with laying on the couch and binging on Netflix? Or participating in whatever the latest trend is for women, facials and so forth. It's a cultural. It's what we worship as a culture. Or for guys, you know, in the me time of sitting back, watching a basketball game, or tinkering with whatever you want to tinker with, or your bike ride, or your hiking. And all of these things can be good and actually can fall into these four categories I just mentioned. But first and foremost is true culture, worship. And so with that, the question is, are we praying? Are we appealing to God? Are we stepping outside of ourselves, our pride, our anger, our sorrow, whatever's going on in our lives, good or bad? This is so important because worship is ultimately what all of the entire Old Testament was about. It was this love story between God and his people. And it was God working to help remind the people that they were made to worship him. And when they failed to worship him, they were given up to barbarian people. They were taken captive. Their land was taken. Their civilization, their culture was destroyed. But when they remained faithful to God, destruction was far from their path. And you and I can live this even today in our own lives. The chaos around us does not mean that our lives have to be destructive. Pay attention. Listen to the readings at church. What is being told to us in the Old Testament? Worship matters. Going to Mass on Sunday, praying in the morning and the evening, making that morning offering. In fact, going to Mass more than once a week. Attending as you're able throughout the week to reorient ourselves toward Christ in the Eucharist. And we're going to talk about how Christ in the Eucharist is the source of our energy. That's right, Catholics. We have an energy source, and it is not ourselves. It is not yoga. It is not nirvana. It is not all of these other things that the culture is trying to feed you, even energy drinks. Which is actually why we touch on the second thing. Do we need self-care, so-called me time? What we need is recovery, so that we can endure things in life. So the second one is recovery. We need sleep. How often do we find ourselves feeling ill, feeling angry, feeling anxious because we are not sleeping enough? Having a new baby, this is something I have come to know so well. My mind, my negativity, my capacity to care for others, to be present, is significantly impacted by sleep. And if I'm not getting it when I should, I need to try and find ways to get it in. Sleeping earlier, sleeping in a little later. What is it that we need to make sure we have a good sleep schedule so that we are recovering? And this also, in the idea of recovery, does include leisurely activities. Leisurely activities that even participate in culture. It could be watching a little bit of a show or a movie. It could be going to see a play. It could be reading your favorite book. It could even be playing a little bit of that video game with your kid, potentially. But leisure should ultimately be oriented toward recovery and worship. And if we cannot see God in those moments, if they're not in some respect helping us to recover so that we are more present to ourselves, others, and God, then this so-called me time and self-care isn't fulfilling its purpose. It just becomes pleasure. So the question is, what are we cultivating in ourselves when we take time to recover through so-called self-care? It is also important for us to ponder and know ourselves. Am I an introvert? Or am I an extrovert? Context is everything. Because, and remember, we often get confused by this introvert versus extrovert. It has to do with how you recover, where you get your energy. Now, maybe you are one of those people, it is not I, who you are refueled and energized by being with other people. This is what fills you up and helps you to recover, is the presence of others. On the other end of the spectrum, maybe you're an introvert. I'm a total introvert. I need to not be stimulated by a bunch of other people to recover. I need that silence. We all need silence in our lives, but I'm talking about silence for the sake of recovery. Do you know what you need? And when I say being with other people, that doesn't mean that you're out and about. It's that you're being stimulated by others and you're in the presence of others to help refuel your batteries, so that you can recover. Third in this whole idea of self-care and overcoming quote-unquote me time is that we need to be able to endure things. And recovery is important for that, but also sustainability is as well. This is where nutrition and exercise come in. Are we actually stopping, sitting down for a moment and eating? I don't know about you, but sometimes I find myself eating while standing, while checking my email, and talking to someone else on the phone. I'm doing 5 things at once, and although I am receiving the food necessary, I'm not aware of it. The cognizant dimension of eating is so important. This is why so many of these studies are saying, actually sit down, look at your food, ponder your food. Now, people talk about being foodies. I actually think we're just filling empty bodies. We're like garbage disposals. Because in reality, even Aristotle and many of the philosophers talked about how people who truly eat well are people who savor the taste on their palate and ponder it. Are we pondering our food? Chewing slowly, helping with our digestion. And exercise as well is a part of this idea, this third element of endurance and sustainability. Are we getting the movement necessary to fuel our mind? you know, when we exercise, do we actually experience that our brain is clearer in thought and interaction? This is why it brings us to our fourth thing, is also that idea of joy activity. I think this is where we get the whole, quote, me time wrong, is we're forgetting that joy is so important to our lives. And do you know what that joy activity is for you? I can tell you, for me, it's reading, dancing, being outside, just laying in the sun, even falling asleep in the sun. Oh, that's the best recovery. It could even be singing in the kitchen or in the shower for you. Are you allowing yourself the freedom to do that? It could even be mountain biking, fixing a car, looking at a magazine, gardening, sewing. Are we partaking in the great things that God has given us the gift for loving and enjoying? The me time and self-care movement is actually born from the need for a deeper understanding of ourselves. So as we talk about these four things, worship, recovery, endurance/sustainability, and joy activities, ultimately, they should lead us to understand ourselves better. And ultimately, to prayer, to pondering and contemplation. You see, when we are grounded in ourselves, this can help us to develop and grow others. It's a basic understanding of the theology of the body. That at the garden, Adam and Eve, in the creation of Eve, Adam understood that he was created to be a gift of self. But you know, before Eve was created in that second account of creation, Genesis chapter 2, Adam was completely alone. And in his solitude, it was called original solitude. In his solitude, he came to a great self-discovery of himself that prepared him to give himself to Eve. That's why he had this aha moment. Ah, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. You are who I am made for, to give myself to others. But remember, he understood this within the context of first having that vertical relationship with God, right, so that all of his horizontal relationships could be made clear. In one of the church's documents, Gaudium et Spes, from the Second Vatican Council, read it, beautiful document. There's a moment in the document where it's talking about how you and I are made in the image and likeness of God. And that how the Father and Son are one, kind of preying upon the bread of life discourse and praying upon the gospel according to John at the Last Supper, right before Christ is about to enter into his passion. And we ponder this idea of how the Father and the Son are one, and how we are made in his image and likeness. And there, Gaudium et Spes talks about how this likeness, and I'm quoting from here, reveals that man, who is the only creature on earth which God willed for itself, that is, God created man for man, goes on to say, cannot fully understand himself except through a sincere gift of self. This is so important, that the creature God created was created to be made a gift, even though he was made for himself. He was made with a nature that orients him toward others. There's this quote that I recently discovered that I have been pondering for these last few months from Edith Stein, where she talks about how a woman craves for an unhampered development of her personality, just as much as she does to help another toward that same goal. That women crave to develop who they are, to develop their personality, to develop what is personal about them, just as much as she wants to help another in the same goal. And so this, quote, me time movement is actually good, but the problem is that it's turning in on itself rather than turning out. When Adam was alone in the garden, he discovered that he was made for another. That's why that moment of, aha, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, he understood that the me time, and this is the understanding all of us need to come to, isn't about me. It's about recuperation and rest so that we can give ourselves more fully to God and to others. For women, it's so easy to emphasize self-pampering over preservation, rest, and growth. And for men, it's easy to chase self-comforts of food, television, electronics, our gadgets. You see, all forms of me time should ultimately be oriented toward a deeper knowledge of self, a deeper and deeper contemplation of God. Whether it's fixing up that car, whether it's gardening, even folding the laundry and doing dishes, are we pondering God and the great things in life and allowing even those moments of work to be restful because they're united to God and we are united and present in our own bodies? Do you, and here was my question then, do you do anything that leads you to ponder, to relax, and even be inspired to pray? Because if you're not having these moments of prayer, spontaneous prayer throughout your day, that means that there's a chaos, a busyness occurring that is drawing you further and further, not just away from God, but away from yourself and who you're created to be. You see, so the answer is self-care matters, not me time. Self-care, self-preservation, because it should draw us into a deeper understanding of ourselves before God, for God, so that we can be there for others, whether you're single, a mom, a dad, especially kids and teenagers. I think that this is why it's so important that we're not making children overly busy with the things and activities they're doing so that they have moments to ponder and not be so stressed running from one activity to the next, to the next, to the next. You're listening to Trending with Timory. I'll be back in just a minute here to discuss the Eucharist and why it's the source of our energy and our energy specifically as Catholics. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
We're talking about what you're thinking about. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Been around someone and they just say, throw that negative energy out the door, I can't take it, and they kind of try to change the topic, ignore a person, try to avoid a person. Well, there's something to this. And unfortunately, when we talk about energy today, we're talking, unfortunately, about anything from an energy drink, your latest favorite coffee hack, or spirituality, Buddhism, Hinduism, positive energy. You know, you hear about these auras and this kind of persona of a person. And, you know, the aura, is it a pink bubble? I don't know. Is your bubble blue, green? What's mine? I don't know. You could tell me. No, don't tell me. I don't want to know what my aura is, okay? But the Eucharist is something we need to understand within the context of this energy conversation. And I think that this is part of the problem why so many people are burning out and exhausted, because they're not turning to the Eucharist as the source of their energy. And so let's talk about this. The Eucharist is referred to at moments in church teaching as the wellspring of worship, that wellspring where we receive, where we worship, and we have a greater understanding of what we're created for. Now, here's a question for us to ponder as we're talking about the Eucharist as our energy. Why did Jesus institute the Eucharist? Have you ever thought about that? As Catholics, we need to ask ourselves these questions. Why? Well, what did Jesus Christ say? There are many answers and many ways to unpack this, but here's one thing for you to ponder today about why Jesus instituted the Eucharist. He said it in John chapter 10, that we may have life and have it abundantly. And later on in John, just before he's about to enter into his passion, going into the Garden of Gethsemane, he talks about how he and the Father are one and how we too are one. And talks about how there are many, many places for us to be with him. Many rooms. We've heard that song, the Father's house, being all the rooms that are present for us in the Father's house. So Jesus Christ came that we may have life and have it abundantly. If that's the case, he wants us to have energy. He wants us to be happy. But we are not turning to him as the source of our life. The Eucharist is the source and summit of the Christian life. And this is what's so sad that we read in John chapter 10 when he was talking about the Bread of Life discourse. Go and read it, John chapter 10. What happened? People left because they could not handle the fact that he literally said his flesh was food to gnaw on, if you look at the interpretation from the Greek. And his blood was meant to be drinking, for us to engage with, to physically have. Why? Food gives us energy. Food sustains us. He literally is giving himself in the Eucharist to sustain you and I. So there's this word, this Greek word in theology that I love. It's kenosis. And kenosis is this understanding, this self outpouring that I pour everything I have out. Imagine yourself as a pitcher and you have given in every last drop of that water. But you're still filled up because you have Christ within you. And I want you to ponder in that way. It's this outpouring of self, this total self-gift, kenosis is. This is what Christ did. He knew himself so well, he was able to give himself totally to you and I. And how do we know this? How do we know that Christ gave himself so fully to us and we too are supposed to walk in the same path? Well, he tells us multiple times, pick up our cross and follow him. The burden is easy, the yoke is light. Why? Because a yoke is two side by side pulling that wagon, pulling to do the work, to till the field, to care for the grounds, to cultivate what is around us. Philippians, St. Paul in Philippians chapter 2 talks about kenosis, actually. When he talks about Christ, how, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. That is, he was humble. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Christ gave himself fully and completely to us. And we read this here in Philippians. He emptied himself. And he empties himself into us in the Eucharist. In the graces that are available in the sacraments, when we go to reconciliation, he empties himself into us. In the anointing of the Holy Spirit, in the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, at our confirmation, our anointing for our mission to be like Christ, to become little Christs. St. Paul goes on in Philippians, and being found in human form, he, that is Jesus Christ, humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. So how do you participate in this kenosis, total self-giving? It's dying to self. Having the same level of obedience that Christ did to the Father, that we too now have that same obedience to God. Of picking up our yoke, picking up our cross, following him. And understanding we don't do it alone. We continue to read St. Paul's words, therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed him the name which is above every name. God exalted Jesus Christ because he gave himself totally and completely for us. He took on a human nature, and if Christ took on a human nature, shouldn't we pay attention? Shouldn't we listen for a moment? What is God saying to us? He's saying, do as I do. This is the perfection of human nature. God transforms us in the Eucharist just as he transformed Jesus Christ at the transfiguration at Mount Tabor. We are being molded into the glorious body of Christ if only we would open ourselves up, if we would pour ourselves out so that we can receive so much in abundance with Christ. This is what the Eucharist is. This is the Eucharist, the wellspring of worship, turning to Christ to be glorified to be united, to have his energy, his body, his life, his Holy Spirit dwelling within us. Philippians chapter 3 talks about this, about the significance for you and I. God will change our lowly body to be like his glorious body. Our own abandonment to Christ in the Eucharist is our kenosis, our self-pouring, our pouring out of self, totally emptying of ourselves, so that we can be filled with Christ in the Eucharist. The more you've heard this phrase, the more you give, the more you get. The more you give when you offer yourself at Mass. Did you know that you are offering yourself at Mass? Did you know that the priest is offering himself? He's making the offering for you and I. That's why when we have the opportunity to throw money into the basket, whether you put money in during the collection or not, there's a reason that money isn't taken up to the altar, because it is your offering and my offering to be offered to God. It is your offering and my offering that helps to bring about the physical substance of the bread that helps pay for, through supporting the church, the bread that will be and wine that will be transformed into the body and blood of Christ. Because our offering, the offering of the priest, matters. The more you give, the more you get. Our own abandonment again to Christ in the Eucharist teaches us to live this kenosis. It gives us the opportunity to pour ourselves out just as Christ poured himself out on the cross. And so when you are there in that offering basket's coming around, sure, give money. That's great. Support our churches. But more than anything, God wants you to give him yourself. Every worry, every fear, every joy, every gift you have, every physical thing that you have, all the material things, your home, your land, in a total act of worship, give yourself to Christ. This is why the Eucharist is the wellspring of worship, because we are meant to give ourselves fully to him so that he can give himself fully to us. You see, the kenosis of Christ, the outpouring of Christ, destroys death and fills us with grace. Our energy as Catholics should be and is Eucharistic. Why did Jesus institute the Eucharist? I said it earlier. John chapter 10, he said that we may have life and have it abundantly. He wants us to have energy. He doesn't want us to be exhausted and dreary Catholics who view our Catholicism and our faith as a burden. He wants us to be vibrant and living a life of God. This oneness with ourselves, this oneness with God. To live what is life-giving, self-giving love. A total sacrificial gift to others. That's what God is calling you and I to. Total abandonment to him on the cross. Are we willing to go there? Will we be that person that people are happy to be around? That person that is inspiring, full of joy, not a drag or exhausting to be around. I think this is so important. We're going to talk a little later on about rediscovering hope. We're going to talk about what freedom is for, because once we understand that Christ is our energy in the Eucharist, once we understand that, we'll be prepared to understand why we have freedom and what it's for. We'll be able to better understand this whole understanding of the culture, this argument of autonomy that you hear over and over again, whether it's the abortion or the transgender debate or people separating from their families. We have to rediscover hope in the culture. We have to rediscover our vocation as male and female. We're going to unpack more of this throughout today. So let's talk a little bit about quote-unquote positive energy. We've been talking about energy today. You know, so often people talk about those people who have very positive energy, and I like being around them. People have said that to me before. There was this one woman, I'll never forget it, one of the Pilates studios I taught at, and she always would come up to me and say, you have just This is the thing about you. It's just so pleasant to be around. You're different. And she used to look at me and ponder. This is someone who is very much so into all sorts of spirituality and Buddhism. I speculate even walking down the path of some potential witchcraft, among other things. Experimenting in her spirituality in dangerous ways. And it's funny because she always creeped me out just a little bit because I knew that was there. I knew I overheard bits and pieces. But it would always fascinate me because she desired so deeply to be around me. And we completely disagreed on politics, on abortion, on religion. Completely disagreed. I had, you know, brief opportunities to hear and ponder what she thought. And she knew as well a little bit about what I thought. And I remember she just loved to sit down and just talk for a moment. I just love being in your presence. Why? Because you and I as Christians, there's something that people should enjoy about being with us. And that is the life of Christ within you and I. This is why the Eucharist is the source of our energy. Jesus Christ is the source of our life. Because the more we are comfortable, the more we are resting in Christ, the more we can rest and be comfortable in ourselves. It's not some aura. It's not some positive energy, pink bubble, blue bubble, whatever. People want to be and should want to be in your presence because you radiate Christ in their lives, and it's something they don't know. And in fact, they don't understand, and they'll look at you with a sense of bafflement and curiosity. And isn't this fascinating? Because when we talk about positive energy, people talk about how, you know, don't be around energy suckers. You want to be around happy people. I don't know. Some people talk to people can be energy suckers sometimes for me. There's so many different types of people and so many gifts and personal dimensions. There are the energetic people, the happy people, talkative, the inquisitive. There are also the negative people, the adventurous ones, the daredevils, those who are incredibly peaceful. There's something about certain people that we want to be in their presence. You can have personal dimensions of who you are and still be united to Christ. Lucas just said the energy suckers, the social vampires. Oh my goodness gracious. You must be an introvert as well, Lucas, if you were saying this. You know what I mean when I say energy suckers. Yep, I hear you. So the question is, do we know ourselves well enough? Are we swept away by other people, by their energy, by their happiness? And this is true. Some people, have you ever been around somewhere they're just so happy? And it might even be fake, potentially. It might be a facade, or it could be legitimate. Or they're so happy, like, I need to rest. I need to calm my soul for a moment. Like, you need to pat your chest. You need to slow down. This is actually a problem when we don't know ourselves. We are overly stimulated and overwhelmed by others and swept away by them. If we're not, as I talked about before, when we were talking about self-care, does self-care and so-called me time matter? Well, if you didn't hear, go download this podcast available tonight at relevantradio.com/training, because I think this is important to understand everything we're discussing today. Because when we don't know ourselves, others can become overly stimulating for the good or for the bad. Because we're trying to discover others. We're trying to discover ourselves through them. And there can be comfort when someone else knows themselves. They're comfortable in their own skin. Or it can cause anxiety for those who are unsure about themselves. You've heard the saying before, you can't give what you don't have. If you don't have possession and understanding of yourself, you will not be able to give yourself, and you will only discover yourself through God. There is this quote that I love. It's St. Irenaeus, and he says this, "The glory of God is man fully alive, and the life of man is the vision of God." This is such a powerful, powerful quote. St. Irenaeus, "The glory of God is man fully alive, and the life of man is a vision of God." So we glorify God by being fully alive. But how do we be fully, how are we able to be fully alive? Well, the life of man is a vision of God. Do we have God before us, within us, beside us, to our right, to our left? I love the Lorica of St. Patrick. That's the breastplate of St. Patrick prayer. It's a decently long prayer. It's a great morning offering prayer. It's actually, many people prayed it that way, because it puts Christ in the context of all of nature and creation before us, above us, and below us. And St. John Paul II actually talked a lot about understanding ourselves, understanding who we are and what we are created for, and how in this current culture, we've lost sight of who we are. We've become a bunch of matter that perhaps has achieved a high level of perfection, but there's no meaning to our lives. You see, St. John Paul II in Evangelium Vitae, and we'll talk about this a little bit more in a minute, understood keenly what happens when we devalue the human person, when we lose sight of ourselves before God. Because he saw this through World War II, through socialism. He saw this in the sexual revolution, the bloodiest century. He saw all of this. He saw this even in the face of losing his mother, his father, his brother, his family, whom he loved. And so I'm going to come back, talk about how St. John Paul II helps us to understand in a very profound way who we are, what our vocation is, what we are created for, and how there is hope in the life that we live.
Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Most of us today are asking a very important question, especially in those dark moments, challenging moments. And I think this is the question, the cry of the culture today, especially as we see these spikes in mental illness and suicide. Even this increase in so many people wanting to work for nonprofits, even if they're not so-called nonprofits that you and I would necessarily consider even being a nonprofit. I won't get myself into trouble here by talking about pets. You know, every time I bring up pets, I somehow annoy so many people. I love it. Send me the emails. I'd love to hear it. I'm teasing, of course. I'm not saying that saving dogs is bad, but I'm just going to stop while I'm ahead here, or not even ahead. I'm just going to keep digging my hole. The whole idea, though, without that side tangent, is that we have this desire to know that our life matters. And we have this desire, and sometimes we get it wrong by trying to overly give to others, by trying to overly define our lives according to a career that has to give to such a profound extent, because we've defined ourselves by the career of giving rather than being a person who gives, being a person who's personal. And I think that this question, does my life even matter, is one that St. John Paul II understood so well. He lived and faced Nazi Germany, German occupation, the loss of multiple family members, his mother, his father, young age, his brother. He saw those die in the war around him. And then he saw, after no longer being under German occupation, then he saw the communist regime and how it impacted him, and how the communists for years monitored and in many ways dehumanized him by the level with, if you look and kind of discover this and research it, he was so closely watched by his enemies in such a violating way. He would be someone who could easily misunderstand what the value of the human person was, and even think his life was meaningless because of all the loss, and even, I would say, offenses committed against him and his life just by the regimes that lived over him. And yet, in Evangelium Vitae, he talks so profoundly about how when God is forgotten, the creature itself grows unintelligible. We no longer know ourselves. We no longer know the function. You know, there's this meme that's been going around last few months that plants are the new pets and pets are the new children. Well, creatures become unintelligible. The purpose of a dog, a cat, the purpose of a baby, the purpose of a plant. we've lost a sense of understanding what created things are and what they're for, and that the human person is far, far infinitely above any other created thing. There I went, offending cat and dog people yet again. Bring on the emails. You see, the human person isn't able to understand himself apart from God. We lose, as St. John Paul II says, a mysteriously different understanding between ourselves and other earthly creatures. We start to kind of ponder ourselves as just one more living being that doesn't matter that much. And so in the culture, even in the search for various types of spirituality, what we're ultimately looking for, of course, is God, so that we can discover ourselves in Him. You know, it's funny, we see how all of these coexist signs all around us. Why do these coexist signs matter? What are they? I actually think there's something to coexist, the idea. It's saying the sign gets something right, that we need to understand ourselves in God to love and be loved by others. It shouldn't just be that there's tolerance for everything, but that there's more so acceptance of everyone as a person. Not necessarily their lifestyle and their opinions and their ideas, but there's an acceptance and unconditional love for people. So this coexist sign is missing the how. They're missing the reason behind their own slogan. This is a problem of reducing ourselves to matter, just material things, and making ourselves less personal. You see, St. John Paul II said, enclosed in the narrow horizon of his physical nature, he is, that is, a person, somehow reduced to being a thing, and no longer grasped the transcendent character of his existence as man. So, and what he's saying here is that we've reduced ourselves to just being things, and we don't understand that we are a transcendent individual, each and every single one of us. This is particular to our character as a person. You see, this is what happened when we lost sight of life being a gift from God, both the life of children, but our lives as well. We think that life can be discarded and replaced. Hence the abortion movement. Hence the pro-physician-assisted suicide and euthanasia that's occurring. We no longer understand two very important things. That our life is sacred, as John Paul II points out, and that we have a responsibility even to veneration of ourselves, an understanding of veneration, this respect. Veneration and sacredness, these are two words you don't hear much about with regard to the human person. That we have self-respect, and that we understand that we are holy. We are a portion set apart for God. See, I think that in our culture today, the problem isn't that we think too highly of ourselves. And don't get me wrong, pride is incredibly prevalent and a problem today. Pride is a sin of all sins. Pride came before the fall. But pride is even in our self-definition of ourselves that's getting in the way of seeing God. We try to define ourselves or reduce ourselves out of our pride. You see, we don't think highly enough of the creation of God or who we are before God, that we are created by Him, that we are made out of an absolute act of love, that we're created with a purpose, which means we have a nature and how we function as male and female, and that we're created to be with Him. And so that asks the question, it begs the question, what is freedom for? I think this is so important. Gives us a strong philosophical moment, a look into our human anthropology. And we have to debunk a couple ideas of freedom and autonomy. That freedom is just so that I can do whatever I want. No, you were created by God with a purpose. Your freedom, because God created you as a free human person with an intellect. Yes, you can defect, turn away from Him. and just follow and work on autopilot's default mode of pleasure. Or you can say, no, my freedom is for something. My freedom is for someone, for myself, for God, for others. And so that inspires every free act you participate in. You see, sin makes us a slave to ourselves and our passions and our pleasures. We live in a hedonistic, it's a pleasure-oriented society. So we have to change our mindset about what freedom is and what its purpose is. It's for the good. Freedom to do what is right. And we have to debunk this understanding of absolute autonomy. That I'm meant to be separate away from everyone else. I'm not meant to be dependent on anyone else. I'm not supposed to have any obligations. I'm not supposed to have a sense even of responsibility for others. This intrinsically goes against the understanding of God as a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God reveals himself to us in the Trinity. God is a communion of persons. God is life-giving, self-giving love. And he showed that to us in such a profound way on the cross. Elevate those crucifixes in your home. Ponder the cross of Christ when you are at Mass. Because we need that reminder. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we are making that sign of the cross over our bodies before and after prayer. And many times even with the glory be. Why? Because we are signed with the symbol of Christ on the cross. And we say the words Father, Son, and Holy Spirit because the cross reveals part of the nature of the Trinity. That life-giving, self-giving love that pours out. And that you and I are made to be a gift of self as well. And so step away from this absolute autonomy. That freedom is just for me. No, freedom is for you. But only for you in the context that you have a nature and a purpose before God that draws you into a life with others. And so how can we rediscover hope in our lives? Well, it's easy to become hopeless, to become without a mission. And so there are three specific missions that I think are so important for us to ponder. To discover that our first mission, first and foremost, our vocation above any other vocation is to holiness, that call to holiness. I love it right now, my home. I live very close to a number of churches, but I can actually hear the church bells on every hour, half hour, and they ring those bells loud and proud during every institution of the Eucharist, during the epiclesis. So beautiful. And I'm reminded that my call is to holiness. Those bells are a reminder to choose God yet again. This is something that was so profound about St. John Paul II. He believed that you and I could be living, breathing saints now. This is something that impacted Jim Caviezel in a profound way, the person who played Jesus Christ, who's in the show Person of Interest, among others, played Jesus in the Passion. St. John Paul II changed his life because he believed that he could be a living, breathing state, that you and I can live in a state of grace and remain in that state of grace through Christ. So what's your mission? Holiness above all else. Everything else will fall into context if we are chasing after holiness, the grace, the presence of Christ in our lives. And then our vocation, our big V vocation, marriage, religious life, whatever it is. If we are first chasing God, then that vocation of married, religious life, the priesthood, we will be able to better understand and see where God is calling us. And then there's the smaller vocation, the vocational things we do. Motherhood, fatherhood, lived out. Motherhood, fatherhood, lived out. But also lived out through the things we do, such as our craft, our work, accounting, teaching, whatever it might be. Serving this nation, being a protector. To physical combat. All of this matters, but at the service of our holiness, our vocation to marriage, our vocation with gifts and talents we have, all of them are to serve God so that we can serve and love others, so we can be united to Him and no longer confused by who we are and what we were created for. See, everything in life exists to give life so that something else can live. Are we living that sacrificial life just as Christ did on the cross? He gave His life so that you and I can live. Head over to relevantradio.com/trending to subscribe to our podcast. Connect on social media. And so that we can go deeper in these conversations and share with me some of the greatest questions you have about the culture and what it means to be human and a child of God.